season. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up the door, I will come in to bear.
In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words: I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day. Do you know it's a new day? Come on. It's a new day. It's a new day. Hit it. It's a brand new day, hallelujah, it's a new day, it's a new day, it's a brand new day, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Taken away the old and putting in the new. Taken away the old, putting in the new. He's taken away the old and putting in the new. Taken away the old and he's putting in the new. Oh, he's taken out poverty, given us wealth. Taken out poverty, given us wealth. He's taken out poverty and given us wealth because he's taken away the old and he's putting in. Okay, now listen to this. I sang that for a purpose. Remember the gospel last week about the unjust steward? Remember he was going to be fired and he went and said, how much oil, olive oil, do you owe my master? 100 gallons. And he said, well, write 50. And then he said, how much wheat do you owe my master? 100 bushels, write 80 bushels. And then this is the application. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of the light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in small matters will also be trustworthy in great matters. The person who is dishonest in very small matters will also be dishonest in great matters. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will trust you with what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one or despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, this is an interesting application because Jesus talks more about money than he does about heaven. Why does Jesus talk about money? I'm going to tell you. Because if you can't be trusted with money, how can you be trusted with that which is really important? If you can't be trusted with money, which is nothing but green pieces of paper with presidents' pictures on it, unless you have Grant's picture, he was never a president, not Grant, what's his name, Benjamin Franklin, he was never president. Everybody else is president on the dollars and on the $5. Everybody's a president, green pieces of paper with presidents' picture. If you can't be trusted with money, how can you be trusted with salvation and giving spiritual things to people? If you can't be trusted, it says, with that which doesn't really matter, how can you be trusted with that which matters? That's what Jesus is saying. He's trying to prove a point. He's trying to prove a point. So, how important is money? Well, you know, in our society, it's very important. It's very important because if you don't have money, you don't pay your bills. If you don't have money, you don't send your kids to college. Well, you know, that might not be a bad idea because they're going to Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe they shouldn't go to college. Maybe they should be self-educated, you know, because they're going to Sodom and Gomorrah. Just a couple of days ago, I was up on the roof of Boston College. We went to visit somebody, and I'm on this tall, tall roof, and we're overlooking all the dormitories, you know? You know what I saw when I looked over the dormitories? Fornication. Why? Because in Boston College and in most Catholic colleges, women and men can go into the rooms with the doors closed. So what did I see? I wasn't looking for fornication. That's what I saw. I saw the word fornication when I looked at the dorms. Maybe it'd be a good idea for you not to send your kids to college. Maybe it might be a good idea because they're going to Sodom and Gomorrah. Or maybe we need to institute colleges that really have Christian principles and really exalt Jesus Christ. Maybe we need to do that because our Ivy League Catholic colleges are nothing but holes where the devil dwells. Anyway, let's continue. Let's continue. If we cannot be trusted with filthy lucre money, how can we be trusted with that which is important? That's what Jesus says. So what you do with your money is very important. What you do with your money, and you know what? The Lord sees what we do with our money. The Lord sees everything, what we do with our money. He sees it. He sees it. He knows it. He knows every bit of it. And the scripture says, which we don't believe, to whom much is given, much is expected. It says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and flowing over from your robes. And you know what? That is a reality that the early church knew to be true, and that people that have lived in faith have known to be true. Keep on giving, and you cannot outgive God. Keep on giving, because you cannot outgive God, because God didn't give us a philosophy. He didn't even give us a creed. God gave us His Son, and His Son gave us the creed. God the Father gave us His Son. And in giving us the Son, He gave us everything He had, all that He had, His beloved Son, given as sacrifice for our sins. God the Father is a giver. He gives us all that He has. We who say, you know, we all say, you know, those who believe in Him, He gave the power to become children of God. Well, are you a giver? Because God so loved the world that He gave. You know, we can say we're children of God. That's a nice thing to say. I accepted Jesus, you know. I made the Life in the Spirit seminar. I accepted Jesus at the Billy Graham rally. Or I accepted Jesus. Well, you know what? Just because you're in a garage doesn't make you an automobile. You know, when you have somebody that's in your family, you know, this one looks like daddy, this one looks like mommy. There's a resemblance between the children and the parents. If God is our Father, and one of His greatest attributes is to give, and we say we're children of God and we're not givers, I think we're deceiving ourselves. Because God is a giver. One of the attributes of God is that He gave us His Son. That's the best attribute because it's salvation. So therefore, if God is our Father and He gave us Jesus and we are not givers, you want to know what? You can say you're a Christian and that you made the trip at Oral Roberts and you accepted Jesus and your feet started to tingle and your head started to sway and you get filled with the Holy Ghost. But if you're not a giver, you have to really ask yourself, am I a child of God? Not that giving makes you a child of God. No, get it right. You start looking like the Heavenly Father. You start doing what the Heavenly Father does. You start being part of the family. And part of the family means we're like Daddy and we're like Jesus. That means we give. That's just one attribute. That's just one attribute. We give and we keep on giving. And you know, given it shall be given unto you. The scripture says, pressed down, shaken together, and flowing over. That's real. That's real. So my question is, as Jesus put it, if you can't be trusted with money, how can you be trusted with things that really matter? If you can't be trusted with money that keeps on, the value of money keeps on going down every day, I hope you know that. The value of the dollar keeps on going down and down and down and down and down. Do you know, I think from the 60s, that a dollar is worth like 14 cents. Something absurd like that. Something absurd. Like a dollar is worth 14 cents. My Lord. That's scary. If it's all going to go into the drink anyway, why don't you spread it around? Why don't you spread it around? Why don't you get the joy of giving? Because you know what? There is a joy in giving. There is a great joy in giving. Because that's part of the gospel. It's the centerpiece of the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And you know, I don't see it as an obligation. I see it as a privilege. I look for places to put money that I'm not going to be going to, where other people can be, where I can't get to. I don't send my money to organizations. I don't believe in organizations. I send my money to people. I send it to missions where 100% of the money will go to the people. I don't send it where most of it's going to be used for the bureaucracy. I send it where it's going to be used most beautifully and prudently. After I let it go, it's none of my business, though. After I let it go, it's none of my business. I've done what I needed to do. I can't be thinking about it. I can't be thinking, is it all going there? It's none of my business. I've done what I needed to do. Now it's up to God and the people I send it to. Pressed down, shaken together, and flowing over into your robes. I told the story a couple of weeks ago, and I'll tell it again, that I told the congregation, because I keep on talking about giving. It doesn't do any good. We still get dollars in the collection box. But I still keep on talking because maybe one person will hear it and start to give, not only to us, but to other places. But anyway, I said, you know, this week I gave $300 for my own money and $300 for my own money. That was beyond my tithe. And I said, but you know what? God will give it all back to me. And if I don't get it back in money, I'll get it back in health. Or I'll get it back in other things. That's the way God does it. So you know what happened? The next day, we're praying, and we're all in the chapel doing morning prayer. Knock on the door. A young woman comes in. I know this young woman. Hands me an envelope and leaves. $2,600 in it. That $2,600 went immediately to do good things, not for me. Pressed down, shaken together, and flowing over. I didn't have to wait too long for the interest of that money to come in. It was less than 24 hours. But, you know, even if it didn't come back in money, it was given. What I gave was given in faith. And the Lord rewards that. Jesus spoke more about money than he did about heaven. Now, you can't buy your way into heaven. It takes the blood of Jesus. You can't buy your way into heaven. It takes the blood of the Lamb. But what we do with our money is very important. What we do with our money is very important. I want to see with my money that the Word of God be proclaimed, that the poor be fed, that people be treated as human beings. That's what I want my money to go. I want to see people that don't have, have. You know, I go to the Hilltop Butcher Shop when they have sales, and I load up on stuff. I load up on stuff. And you know, as I load up on stuff, as I'm driving home, I'm saying, if I can have all this stuff, and God bountifully gives this to me, who am I to keep this from the poor? I load up on this stuff. You know, they had a sale yesterday. chicken breast, 99 cents a pound. That's very good. That's very good. Oh, yeah, and chicken leg quarters, 59 or 49 cents a pound. Oh, yeah. So I loaded up in this stuff because, you know, the winter's coming. There'll be people that'll be coming. They don't have food, so we can give them meat. But the point is this. If I can buy all this stuff, they also had, let me also tell you what they had. They had porterhouse steak for $3.99 a pound. That was Hilltop. Yeah. That was yesterday, though, that it's the sale's over. So, but the point is this. I'm driving home with all this stuff, and I'm thinking, if we can have all this stuff, who am I to keep this from those who don't have it? Like, that's the way I think. I'm going to tell you where I learned it, too, okay? No one taught me this in my family. No. I used to work at the Salesian Oratory in East Boston. There was this woman that I worked with. Her name was Alice Lavelle. Alice Lavelle, when I started helping at the Salesian Oratory, would get $40 a week. And I remember her packing up clothes for the poor to send to Appalachia. I remember her, you know, she was a real holy roller. She would take old sheets, 3 inches she'd make them, and then she would roll bandages for the lepers. And I remember helping her with this kind of stuff and seeing what she did. And she had absolutely nothing. She never taught me anything about this kind of stuff. I got taught by watching her. That's how I got taught. I didn't learn this from the Salesian priests, believe me. I learned this from Alice Lavelle. Quiet, beautiful Alice who loved Jesus Christ and the Blessed Mother. Quiet, beautiful Alice whose eyes were as blue as the sky and who loved people. She wasn't perfect any more than I am, but caring for those who had not. I learned from her as I watched her as she gave and gave and gave. That's who I learned from. I learned from that woman of God. She never said anything to me about it. I would often go to the post office for her. I would often help her package her stuff. I would often do what I needed to do. But she was the quiet giver. I remember once I was on the road with one of my old broken-down automobiles. I had many of them. And what happened is my automobile stopped on the Mass Pike. You might ask why. I had a flat tire. I remember the snow was starting to come down, but it wasn't heavy. And I remember saying to God, this car is such a junk, and I don't know how to fix the tire very well because I'm afraid it'll fall on me. So would you please send somebody to help me? I remember that ever so well. And I remember this guy who worked at the Mass Pike stopping. His name was Joe O'Keefe. Still is. And he stops and says, who are you doing this crazy stuff? You know, if they ever find me, I'll get fired from my job, says he. And as he's jacking up my car, I'm saying, thank you, God, for this beautiful man that you're sending, okay? And now he's taking the wheel off the tire, and he's saying, you know, you're so stupid that you don't have to even fix your own tire. And I'm saying, thank you, Lord. I don't care what he says about me, you know. Thank you for sending him to me because I really needed this guy, okay? So finally he gets the tire fixed. He says, now where am I going to put the flat tire? I said, in the trunk. So we open the trunk, and he sees all these sheets. I was a priest at the time. He says, what are these sheets for? Oh, I says, I have a friend who's a holy roller. I said, she rolls bandages for the lepers. He said, like the lepers in the time of Jesus? I said, exactly. I said, he said, do they still exist? I said, they do. I said, you know, why don't you come to our Bible study in 3 nights? On a Sunday night, Joe O'Keefe became my friend, and came to our Bible study for years. As a matter of fact, 2 months ago, he lives at the Cape now, he came to Mass at Holy Rosary. And it was all because of the Holy Roller that rolled bandages. I had all those sheets in my car. All right? That's true. Absolutely true. I couldn't make up stories like this. I don't have the ability to make up stories like this because this is the way it happened. If it wasn't for Alice Lavelle, I would not be friends with Joe O'Keefe. He has 5 beautiful daughters. 5 beautiful daughters. I tell you, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and flowing over. And if you can't be trusted with that which is not important, Jesus says, how can I trust you with souls, with people? Because the most important thing that the church is entrusted with are people. People, and I'm not saying people in a crowd, I'm saying people individually. I'm going to tell you the secret of the success of this radio program. It's Jesus. But the second secret is I don't talk to crowds. I talk to individuals. I don't talk to crowds. Even though many people may be listening, that doesn't concern me. What concerns me is the one person who needs to hear the message. That concerns me. And little did I know that when I talked about this to someone who was in radio, he said, that's the secret of radio. Well, no one taught me the secret but Jesus. I didn't know it was a secret. I just realized that one person needs to hear me today. One person needs to hear the message today. One person needs to be told you don't have to kill yourself today because you know what? Jesus loves you. You don't have to do yourself in today. You know why? Because he bled for you. He's got a plan for you. Put the pills away. He's got a plan for your life. And you know, that plan will be so exciting as well as challenging. For without a challenge, I'm going to tell you, we'd all die of boredom. It is a challenge to live the Christian life in 2007. It is a challenge because so many people are so hateful toward Christ and Christianity. It is a challenge because we've become so worldly and we've become the kingdom of thingdom rather than the kingdom of God. It is a challenge to be different in a world that wants you to look like everybody else. It is a challenge, but you know what? It is a privilege because we are called to be lights in a crooked and perverse generation. And we are called to shine like stars in a dark sky because he lives in us, because he gave his life for us, because he rose from the dead, because he's the Lord. It's time to get back to basics, and basics have to do with faith. And I'm going to tell you, your faith is as strong as what you do with your money. You can tell me you've got faith, but if you can't trust God with some of your money, you want to know what? It's a joke. It's a joke. And put it where it's going to count. Don't put it where it's not going to count. Place your money where it's going to do the best and the most good. So many people are hungry and starving. Every Saturday, our people go out to feed the poor. But not only to feed the poor, but to pray with them. Not only to pray with them, but to listen to them. Every Saturday. My house, I don't know what it looks like on a Saturday morning. I don't know if it looks like a delicatessen or what it looks like. I'll tell you what it looks like, and then I'll conclude. I go downstairs, and there's 2 big, massive bowls of tuna fish. They're putting them on Panera bread. There's 2 big, massive bowls of egg salad. They're putting it on Panera bread. Dorothy Benoit's in the kitchen, boiling hot dogs and then frying them in butter, putting them in rolls. Put mustard and relish in the little brown bags. Marie was in the kitchen, putting two pieces of chicken legs in little plastic bags. Somebody else is cutting cheesecake that was donated to us and other cakes. Like, these people out in the street are eating gourmet. And who deserves it more? We're not giving them peanut butter and jelly, but we do give them that too. They're eating gourmet. Because you want to know what? I'm going to tell you about the people on the street. They are more faithful than most people in the church. You know why? They'll tell you, we've got nobody but Jesus. We don't even have a house. We've got nobody but Jesus. Some of these people out in the street, you might think that they're all drunks. I don't think so. They might be drunks, but you know what led them to it? Sexual molestation. Many of them were molested, not by priests either, believe me, by people in their families. Some of them were ex-pro football players. Some of them are lawyers. Some of them are parents with children. You never know. Some of them might be angels dressed up in rags. Because that's what it says in the book of Hebrews. That when we entertain strangers, we've many times entertained angels. It's time to give. And it's time to give in faith. Pressed down, shaken together, and flowing over will be your reward. But do not give to receive. That's a motive. You give because you've been given to. Jesus gave us his life, and the Father gave us Jesus. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.
In Season and Out of Season is sponsored by In Season and Out of Season.